When we look at this, you know, the kind of many sort of scientific experiments that you have been involved in, you have shared this a lot. I've actually attended a couple of sessions of your presentation on the impact of compassion and meditation on the brain and so forth. So if you put this in the context of Buddha nature, different aspects of Buddha nature, such as clarity or compassion, altruism, is there possibility that we can enhance these qualities of Buddha nature without running through the traditional route of cultivating it through meditation and practice? In other words, would there be some future sort of drugs or different ways of stimulating qualities?
Why going that way? I mean, no, you can do a lot of things in the brain with electrodes and drugs, but they don't replace training and practice. And I'll tell you why. For instance, when people have this epileptic fit, sometimes you need, if it is very serious, the neurosurgeon has to fit some electrodes in the brain. So for that, you do it when people are not sleeping, because you need to see their reaction. And anyway, the brain is insensitive. So you open the skull and then try to place it in the right place so that you can suppress the epileptic fit. But while they do so, sometimes they have a very strange, you know, they put it somewhere else and there are very strange things happening. Some people see hallucination. They see their dog coming in the room. But some people, they get instantly depressed. All of a sudden, they say, what am I doing in this world? I'm totally useless. The world will be better without me. So what? People who are about to commit suicide feel that they're extra in this world. There's no point living even 1 hour more. Just within seconds, you have induced that state artificially. Now you take this out, person comes back laughing, joyful, full of life. So there is a connection between the gross consciousness, of course, and the workings of the brain, and you can influence that. So you can give drugs that give you some sense of euphoria. You can give drugs that put you to sleep, all kinds of things. But that will not modify. That's just a shock, momentary. Only thing that changes the brain through neuroplasticity that makes a structural change is when you are either exposed passively to new situation, say you change places, you live somewhere else with different people, or you are plunged into a war, whatever. And then your brain will change because your experience is changing a lot and over months. Or voluntarily, by engaging in mind training. And as you know very well, my dear Karma, the word meditation means nothing by itself. It's just training. So if you say someone, I'm training, he will ask, what? Are you training, learning chess or playing football or lifting weights? And so meditation, training the mind, in Sanskrit, bhavana means to cultivate, and gom in Tibetan, becoming familiar with. So you can become more familiar with the focused attention, you can become more familiar with unconditional love and compassion, but you can also become more familiar with the workings of your mind. You can become more familiar trying to look at this pure awareness that is always there behind the screen of thought, but you don't see usually, and you don't pay attention to it. It's like the blue sky that is behind so many clouds and hundred thousands of birds that distract you, but the blue sky is always there, but you don't see it. So all that process of familiarization takes practice. No wonder when Gompopa asked to Milarepa, or Milarepa wanted to give a last teaching when parting from his disciple Gompopa, he called him back in the cave and lift his bottom and show how many callus he had on his butt, because he has been sitting on stone to practice. So Practice is the only way. There's no such a magic bullet to cultivate those qualities. And again, cultivation means, again, removing slowly the veils that mask our true nature. We are not fabricating anything. We are revealing what is there, like cleaning the gold.